Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
Christians are being persecuted all over the world. My husband and I were talking about this the other day, about how so many are behind bars. So many are just being persecuted for their faith. And so I thought that today we would look at India as a country where there's extreme persecution, and talk with Don Schenk, who is the director of the Tide Global Ministry there. They deal a lot with helping people learn who Jesus is in the midst of persecution. Don, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, tell us a little bit first about the Tide Ministry, and then we'll talk a little bit about India.
Certainly. The Tide Ministry started in 1946 as a local broadcast here in central Pennsylvania, and gradually spread across the U.S. And in the late 70s, when Transworld Radio opened up transmitters in other parts of the world, where there were significant numbers of English-speaking people, the program began to air there. And then a transition was made where first India, interestingly enough, was the first place that they switched to using the local language, okay. Started to broadcast in Hindi. And that just started a transition in the ministry that gradually we started to do more and more in other countries, to the point that in 2008 made the decision that we're not going to broadcast here in the U.S. because there's so many good Christian programs available here. But in other parts of the world, whether it's radio, TV, even online access to the gospel, there's very limited access. And so our focus is to work with indigenous groups around the world to help them to create and utilize a broadcast media ministry to share the gospel, to reach their own people in their own language with the transformational message of what Jesus Christ has done for people.
So you're an international Christian outreach committed to worldwide evangelism and discipleship, excluding
Correct.
The United States, because we have lots of good ministries and preaching and teaching here. So let's talk about India. Why is India known as one of the harshest countries for Christian persecution?
I think it goes back a little bit to the history of the whole region. And, of course, the British Empire had kind of claimed a huge area there. And when they turned that back over, they did a huge disfavor by carving it up according to religion. So Pakistan used to be a part of Greater India. That, because it was mostly Muslim, became a separate country. India was primarily Hindi, and so that was separated. And so it was like a cultural identity. And today, the current Prime Minister of India has said that he wants India to be a place for Hindu. And in fact, many people don't realize that another name for India is Hindustan,
oh.
Which means the place of Hindus. So I think because there is sort of a historical and a cultural claim to the nation, there's an animosity and a resistance to any other religion. And so Christians, and within India, Muslims find themselves in the same situation. Anything that is non-Hindu is pressurized and opposed.
What kind of persecution is happening in India that we may have no idea about?
It can go anywhere from as simple as we've had people who have said, since they've started listening and they've accepted Christ, they have been excluded from the village well, which that's a little bit hard for us to identify with, because most of us here live in homes where we have water piped from a well or from city supply right into our houses.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a village in India, somebody who lives there surface water can be contaminated. It can be hard to get good, clean water. And when there's a well, it is normally one community well that is utilized by everyone in the village. So to be excluded from that, you're excluded from a clean water supply. It's kind of a minor punitive action. But it can go as far as beatings. And I have met the widow of a man who was beheaded for preaching the gospel.
So at the well, if you're a Christian, how does that happen? Give me a little scenario story of how that might happen.
I'll tell you about a young couple that converted to Christianity from hearing through our radio broadcasts, and they were actually chased out of the village. They had no family nearby. They were living in the forest. And as they were out there just trying to figure out what they're going to do, some people from the village a few days later came out searching for them and said, please come back. We've made a mistake. Ever since we chased you out of the village, the water in our well has been bitter. And they invited them back, and they prayed over the well, and the water became sweet. It's like a story out of the Bible.
Yep.
Like Moses, you know, putting the branches in the water. So that's one with a happy ending, where the village allowed them to then continue living as believers. But as I said, there's other situations where people have not been so fortunate. The leader that we work with primarily in India for our partner ministry there, which is called Good News Hour, he was involved in helping to get some people out. Some village preachers and evangelists had been doing some work in an area. They were rounded up, put into a building, locked inside the building, and the building was set on fire. Fortunately, they were able to get around and open up. Some of the others were able to get there to open up at the back of the building and get them out before they were killed. Those are the types of things that it's hard for us to imagine. I mean, you know, we have crime here in North America. We do have some very heinous crimes. But to live with the thought that if I let somebody know I'm a believer, or if I try to share my faith, then I'm going to be persecuted to the point of my life is at risk. And in India, what emboldens the people on the ground and out in the villages is the fact that, number one, the government is saying we want this to be a Hindu country. And number two, many of the Indian states have what they call religious freedom acts, or they're, in essence, they are anti-conversion laws. They make it illegal to entice or convince anyone to change their religion.
So the Tide Ministry helps keep faith alive in India, but Christian leaders in the United States are calling for the State Department to do something about this. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that's very important for us. You know, how can we really help people in India to give them that freedom to choose? You know, if somebody wants to choose to worship multiple gods, let them have that freedom. But if somebody wants to choose to worship the one true God, they should have that freedom. And we can't really do anything about it on the ground in India. But I think through diplomacy and through political pressure, we can at least raise the awareness and bring some pressure on the government of India to allow, truly allow religious freedom. I think we as a nation, America is a very strong, influential country, and we can't force other countries, but we can let them know how we feel, and we can put pressure on other countries to, not saying they have to adopt Christianity, but at least saying they should allow people the freedom of choice. Because part of what makes America so great in my mind is we do have that freedom. Anybody in America can choose to worship who or what they want to worship. that's not the case in some other countries. And in India, making that choice can lead to very serious consequences, even loss of life.
What is the call to action you give our listeners today?
I think the call to action is even starting at the local level, local politicians, your regional representatives, your House of Representatives, your congressmen, let them know. But then also be praying for people in India. Because while this persecution exists, the gospel is going out and people are being impacted. And if we have time here, I'd love to read you a couple testimonies from some of our listeners in India.
We got time for one.
Okay, here's one. This is from a speaker of tribal language, the Ho language. It says, I am a regular listener to your Jivan Jyoti Ho program, and I'm so glad to write to you. The radio program is very inspiring and heart-touching, and after listening to it, I've experienced the love of God in my personal life. Now I have become a new creation in Jesus Christ, and Christ lives in me. Please send me some literature to help me grow in this love.
Awesome. In India, one of the harshest countries of persecution in our world.
Yeah, and we get quarterly reports from our partners in India, and the number of people responding has been increasing recently every quarter. Over last quarter, we had over 4,552 people responded to these radio broadcasts.
Awesome. In India on a daily basis. Don Schenk, director of the Tide Global Ministry, is my guest. Pray, he's saying, for our governmental leaders to take action in what they can do. Talk to your governmental leaders about this issue. India, people are harshly being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Don, website where people can learn more information about Tide?
Certainly. They can go to thetide.org, where we have a lot of our work is described there. And the first thing that's going to pop up is a sign up for the newsletter if you want to be on our list to receive prayer updates and frequent updates on what's happening in the ministry. We'd love to have you following with us and engaging. thetide.org.
thetide.org. Don Schenk, director of the Tide Global Ministries, thanks for being my guest. Get involved. Your prayers can make a difference. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks for tuning in this week. Bring a friend next time, won't you?
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.